Joining us to discuss HS2's future and just whether the project is worth pursuing from a taxpayer's perspective is Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Future. Hello, Bruce.
Good evening.
Why do you think it costs up to 10 times as much to build a mile of railway in Britain than it does in France?
I don't think anyone knows the answer definitively. I mean, it has something to do with the density of this island. Of course, France has, you know, roughly the same population, but about twice the area. So that means it's easier to sort of slice through green fields to get where you want. But that is just one of the factors. Another factor I would suggest in the case of HS2 is the indecisiveness of government. This whole sort of stop-start business. Is it on? Is it off? Are we going to go to Leeds? No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're going to the East Midlands. No, let's connect to the West Coast Main Line. Let's not do that. Let's go to Euston. No, let's go to Old Common instead. That is a nightmare for any construction project. But, you know, I think that the costs issue, yeah, it is the sort of elephant in the room. And I think the government need to work harder to get a grip on costs.
I mean, just the idea itself, it takes just over an hour and a half to get from Euston to Birmingham. Was there any need of extra capacity or a speedier way to make that trip, the London to Birmingham route?
Yeah, I think there is. I think there is a looming capacity crunch on the railway. I mean, you know, the whole idea that we're spending billions of pounds just to shave a few minutes off the journey completely misses the point. It is about capacity. Passenger numbers have doubled over the last 20 years or so. Now, the pandemic gave us, you know, quite a big breathing space. Passenger numbers went down, understandably, but they are pretty much back to pre-pandemic levels. And those underlying trends that forced passenger numbers to go up and up and up over the years haven't gone away. So, you know, there isn't really a do-nothing option. If you scrap HS2, you've got to come up with a plan B.
You know, I recently did that route. I wasn't, I didn't really notice that the trains were particularly packed. What is this extra capacity that is required? Are we talking about business persons taking the 7 o'clock for a business meeting in either Birmingham or London? Or are we talking about pleasure seekers?
It's a bit of both, really. I mean, I imagine, you know, that obviously that the peak trains, they certainly are, you know, very, very full. And it's not just about the trains themselves being full. It's about the number of destinations you're reaching as well. You know, there's only so much capacity on a line for a certain number of trains. Now, the West Coast Main Line is a bit of a nightmare in that regard because you've got a combination of high-speed intercity trains, you've got regional stopping trains, local trains, and you've got freight trains. And, you know, the West Coast Main Line is pretty full.
Wouldn't it make more sense to, I suppose it's a bit late now, but would it not have made more sense, instead of going north-south, increasing their capacity there, going west-east, Liverpool, Manchester, Leeds, York, Hull?
Well, you're talking about Northern Powerhouse Rail, or sometimes also referred to as HS3, which is an excellent idea, and I think it's actually quite less controversial than HS2. You know, there's a very strong case for it, and I think it's, you know, where you have differing proposals for investment in rail, I'm not comfortable with setting one against the other. We need both. You know what I mean?
But we're going to get neither, though, are we?
Well,
I mean, with the fiasco of HS2, but no one's going to propose now that we charge full-on to connect to Liverpool with Hull.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real tragedy, because there's a very strong case for it. You know, the North will definitely miss out from this. Again, it comes back to getting a grip on costs. If the government can get a grip on costs, then, you know, maybe these other rail schemes, which are very badly needed, will stand more of a chance of going ahead.
You know, the government seems to, or Rishi Sunak seems to, almost as though he's been introduced to this project in the last week or so, and has seen the figures and has blanched. But having already spent £100 billion, wouldn't it make sense to finish the project?
Absolutely, yeah. Let's not fall for the sunk cost fallacy. It doesn't matter how much we've spent. We are where we are now. So what is the best option? You know, scrap it entirely, and then we'll have to come up with a plan B, as I've just described, or finish it to Birmingham only, which is pretty pointless, or find a way to continue with it, you know, and commit to it in the long term and get a grip on costs. And then you have a high-speed network which starts to work.
You know, I don't know much about trains, but it seems to me that the entire project was fatally flawed at the start, because what we've got is a route that goes from near the centre of Birmingham to, at best, Euston, which is the worst major train station in London by a country mile. And your business person, who has come here from Europe expecting the same sort of efficiency that they enjoyed in France and Spain and Switzerland and so on, are going to be getting out at Euston, which is a place that's about a 15-minute walk down the most polluted road in London to St Pancras, where they can then board what is actually a fast train that will take them back to Europe. I mean, if a British businessman was presented with that kind of fiasco in France, for instance, they'd turn around and come right back.
Yeah, I mean, I share some of your concerns. I mean, I think it's worse at Birmingham, actually. The research shows that at the London end, relatively few customers would go from, you know, would connect to the Channel Tunnel, even though it seems like a very obvious thing to do. But at Birmingham, for instance, you know, you're going to Curzon Street, which is a mile from Birmingham New Street. You know, we need integrated rail that goes to existing city centre stations rather than having that 15-minute walk at Birmingham. And I, off the top of my head, I can't remember what the proposal is like in Manchester as well and Leeds. But, you know, they need to serve those existing city centre stations and have some sort of joined-up thinking. HS2, as it stands, I believe, has basically no stations between Birmingham and London. Can you imagine a road doing that? It just doesn't really make any sense.
It's as though somebody has been blindfolded and just thrown a dart at a map and said, well, that'll do. Old Oak Common. I've lived in London for 45 years. I've never even heard of the place.
No. It's on the Great Western Main Line. I've been through it many times, but I've never needed the need to stop there. It's actually very, very very close to Wormwood Scrubs Prison, I believe, and some wags have called it, you know, Wormwood Scrubs Parkway or something. You know.
Well, it sounds a delight. A holiday destination, in fact.
Yeah, indeed, yeah, I can't wait to go there. Maybe some of our politicians should be sent there. What do you reckon?
I would agree with that proposal, yeah. Which would start with Grant Shapps, who seems to be blaming the Ukraine war and COVID with the mess with the HS2. Does that make any sense?
Well, I mean, those are undoubtedly factors, but I think it's really not fair to, you know, put all the blame on that. You know, HS2 has been, you know, proposed, what was it, 2008 or something, I think, you know, and it's been a long, long-term project. And, you know, governments have had plenty of time to get a grip on costs and maybe do a bit of forecasting as well. So, yeah, you know, you can't throw the blame at the war and the pandemic, I'm afraid.
And now the whole project has been rated unachievable by the infrastructure watchdog. Why can't we build anything in this country without it going massively over budget and arriving late, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always go that way. I think I'm right in saying that HS1 was delivered on time and on budget. You know, sometimes it does happen. But
did we get the Japanese to build it for us?
Well, maybe we should. Yeah, I think there almost certainly are lessons to be learned from how the other countries manage their infrastructure schemes. I think a lot of it comes down to short-termism, that governments, by their very nature, are looking, you know, at best 5 years until the next election, whereas they need, I mean, particularly with rail needs very, very long-term thinking, and that sadly is sadly lacking in government.
You know, Andy Burnham, the Manchester mayor, he's got a point, hasn't he? Britain, am I right in thinking, is more economically centralised than any other similar wealthy country. It's all about one city, London, isn't it? And basically to hell with everywhere else.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he might not be pleased to learn. There is evidence that that far from actually sort of going to the north and spreading the economic joy, it tends to further suck it in to London. So, you know, HS2 may not be, you know, the panacea for levelling up and giving investment to the north. It may make things worse from that point of view.
Right, so rather than the money flooding up the country, it would further imply that money would be flooding back down from places like Birmingham to London.
Yeah, that has been the experience in other countries, and it shouldn't be that way. So, yeah, maybe politicians need to, you know, it's all very well talking about levelling up, but do some research and find a way to actually make levelling up happen rather than just imagining a new railway line will do it magically for them.
On the subject of just the trains in general, what effect do you think the cost of train tickets to the viability of train travel? I mean, we already have some of the most expensive rail tickets in Europe, and the cost of HS2 means that, I would assume, tickets will have to be quite high to recoup that cost.
Well, no, they won't. I think that's another fallacy. If you think about going from London to Birmingham, you have choices. You can take a coach, you can drive, you can take a... Can you take a plane? Maybe you can take a plane. But you also have the choice of using other railway lines. The West Coast Main Line will continue to operate. The Chiltern Main Line will continue to operate. So unless the operators of HS2 attractively price their tickets, then no one will use it at all, and it will become even more of a white elephant than some people argue it is already. So ticket prices have to be attractive, but that applies to the whole of the rest of the rail network. And we do have some outrageously expensive rail fares compared to our European partners. And, you know, what is particularly shocking is the way, you know, the government are really betraying any hint of any claims to a green agenda when they freeze fuel duty for motorists by, you know, for 12 years on the trot. Then they cut fuel duty for motorists by 5%, and they continue to maintain that cut. And yet, at the same time, every year almost, rail fares go up by inflation or more than inflation. It seems like the government is doing its damnedest to deter people from travelling by train.
Do you think that train travel would be more sustainable if the railways were renationalised?
We're sort of halfway there already. I think, you know, rail nationalisation isn't a magic bullet, but it might remove some of the sort of complexities and the fragmentation, which isn't good for the railways. The what we call or sometimes think of as the franchisees are actually contractors, and they're being given a fixed price contract, can't speak tonight, to run their train, which is being pretty much micromanaged by the Department for Transport, which is sort of, you know, doing the same job that British Rail did all those years ago.
And just finally, the technology. I mean, this was mooted in 2009. It's called a high-speed rail link. Is it, though? I mean, is it as fast as they're building in Japan and China? I mean, is the technology already out of date and it's not even finished yet?
No, I think it certainly is. There's an international definition of high-speed rail, which it definitely meets. And I'm one of those people who actually argues that it's too fast, because once you go above 200 miles an hour, the energy cost absolutely goes through the roof. And to achieve its objective of sort of beating air travel, you can do it at slightly slower speeds than what's proposed for HS2. France has broken loads and loads of speed records for trains, but it still carries on at 186 miles an hour for journeys which are in many cases longer than what would be the case in the UK, and they're doing fine, thank you very much. So I think, yeah, we shouldn't get obsessed with speed. High speed is fast enough. Let's not go for insanely fast trains.
Okay. I don't think there's any danger of that happening soon. Bruce, very good to talk to you. Thanks for that. Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Future.